Welcome to Wing Chun Talk. Wing Chun Talk podcast is dedicated to talking all things Wing Chun. Your host, Sean Benson, has the pleasure of sitting down with other Wing Chun practitioners from around the world. If you are interested in Wing Chun or want to connect with other Wing Chun practitioners, then this podcast is for you. Sit back and enjoy Wing Chun Talk.
All right. We are live. Okay, welcome. Welcome to Wing Chun Talk episode number 2. Thanks for joining us. We had some pretty good feedback on the first episode, so I wanted to bring in another guest today and, again, just talk about Wing Chun. So today we have Lance Smith. I've trained with Lance the whole time I've been training, and he's been training years on top of that. So he has a vast amount of experience in Wing Chun, super knowledgeable, and I appreciate training with him in class and out of class. So good welcome to Lance. So thanks, Lance, for being here. Really appreciate you doing this.
Well, thanks for setting it up, I guess.
Yeah.
The learning experience.
Yeah, due to COVID, which is going on right now, we have a little bit of spare time, maybe. I don't know. How are you feeling some of your time right now?
Mostly just homeschooling. That's my time filler.
It takes so long, doesn't it?
Oh God, driving me crazy today. I'll tell you.
I know, me too. Like, I have a grade oneer, and he's got only this amount, like a small amount of work. You got a grade sixer, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Grade six and a procrastinator at the same time.
Yeah. It's funny. Both our sons' names are Logan. Hey, so my Logan was pulling the "I can't do this." Like, it's just like you've been reading this word here, and he's just stalled, and was hoping I would tell him. But anyways, just beating heads together. But anyways, so to Wing Chun. How did you get into Wing Chun originally? And tell us like a little bit about your story, how you started and kind of up to this point now.
So I started in Wing Chun in 1989 when I was studying at the University of Alberta. Mm-hmm. And it was, I was living on campus in student housing and walking down Hub Mall one day, and this guy handed me a little handbill. Said, "Wing Chun, give it a try." And I was like, "Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go check it out." And for me, it was really just a way to do some exercise and clear your head. And then I could go back to studying, right? So you finish your classes, you start studying, you have something to eat, go do some kung fu, and then you come back and you can study for another couple hours. Mm. But then it turned into, all I wanted to do. You know, it's always been that way for me.
Sorry, when did it turn into that? Like right away or?
Yeah, not too long, like maybe within a couple of years. And it was like, I want to do this all the time. It became, that addiction, that thing that you're, I don't know, it's almost like a puzzle that I was trying to solve. Mm. Some people do video games and they get, attached to a game until they can complete it. And mine was kung fu, and I want to see how it goes and what to do, and it's a puzzle on many different levels. Mm-hmm.
So 89, pretty much finished university, trained pretty steadily up until you're still training at home, correct?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, so you're still training. So 89, that's quite a few years. Near 30?
Yeah, a little over 30 years since I started. Wow. Took a year off here, a year off there with kids. Mm-hmm. So really it's about 25 years of constant practice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Like I said, a huge wealth of knowledge. And I appreciate training with you because we trained in the same club. I think when I started, you were already advanced and you were like teaching. And then I took a break and basically came back and we've trained together since. That's kind of, so I probably, I can never remember. It's 10 or 12, 13 years, I think, I've been training with a couple like breaks in there as well. But yeah. So how are you training at home? Like, I know you got a dummy. Are you hitting that regularly? Are you, what's at home?
Yeah, now that the weather's nice and I can use the garage again, it's, you know, I try and do a couple times a week. Do for 45 minutes, half hour, sometimes longer. Mm-hmm. I was hitting it pretty hard on Monday and I ended up, you know, bruising myself.
Did you?
Still do that.
So I'm just going to...
All the pent-up frustration, I guess.
So, tell me, I guess, what... I mean, obviously, you love the school that you're a part of. I mean, I'm a part of it. I haven't trained anywhere. What keeps you coming back? What keeps you coming back to Wing Chun to train the length of time you have?
Well, so I've traveled around. I did a year in Australia after I finished my first university degree. And I trained with clubs in New Zealand and Australia. And at that level, it was kind of a, hey, let's be, you know, really curious. And what does everybody else in the world do? Because I was interested. Mm-hmm. And thinking back on it and realizing that, you know, there are schools and then there are not so good schools. And then there are fake schools. And then there are, you know, real schools. And I think we're blessed with being in a real school, learning real traditional Wing Chun. And it kind of keeps you coming back because of that. Bruce Lee's comment in the Tao Ji Kune Do, nobody ever cultivates a taste for watered down wine, right? Everybody likes the taste of real olives, not fake olives.
Totally. I want to jump in here a little bit because you traditional Wing Chun. Like, I mean, there's another school of thought of traditional Wing Chun. I think that's out of Australia. You're not speaking directly like that lineage. You're just saying traditional, as in a sense of kind of more like a pure Wing Chun, or like how would you explain traditional in your opinion?
So traditional would be classic movements and a classical transmission of those training techniques, as opposed to here you try this, and if you're good at this little piece, then you keep that, and if you're good at this other little piece, then you keep that. And oh, if you can't do this, well, then don't worry about that. And this is what creates a modified system. Mm. I modify this system to me, but when I try and teach that to somebody else, all I'm teaching them is how to be me. I didn't learn all of the foundational pieces so that if they can't do some of the things that I can do, but they would have been able to do some of the things that I didn't learn or didn't pick up, then that's no longer an option. And this is how modified systems peter out. Everybody starts learning other things, and this is really what MMA is. Mm-hmm. So this is, I can do a side kick, but I can't do a front kick. Oh, I can grapple somebody on the ground, but I can't stand up and block. So I'll learn those things that I do well at, and I'll become a proficient fighter to defend myself or, you know, for sport. And this is, you know, styles make matches, but it's not a traditional system. It's a modified system.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Thoughts, I guess, on, say, mixing some of training. I put a post in the group a little while ago, just who would train what and who trains, I guess, cross-trains their Wing Chun with with another martial art. Thoughts on that? I mean,
Oh, sure. Why not? You know, if you want to play tennis, then play tennis. If you want to play tennis and football, then, you know, play tennis and football. You know, be Bo Jackson. You can do baseball and football.
Right.
But they don't confuse the fact that one is baseball and one is football. They're not trying to make base foot or foot base, right? They're not trying to make foot baseball.
So combining the two and then calling it Wing Chun, or like adding jiu-jitsu to your Wing Chun and still calling it Wing Chun.
Right.
Okay.
If you want to do jiu-jitsu, then fine. If you want to do jiu-jitsu and Wing Chun, fine. But, you know.
Know that they're separate.
Yeah. They're still distinct.
Yes. Okay.
And the question, and then the issue becomes, you know, do you want to be the student of 10,000 or the master of the one? Mm-hmm. Ultimately, styles, they end up in the same place. So you have different starting points, but at some level, the paths merge, right?
Sorry, can you say that again?
So it doesn't matter what style you start in. If you take them to a high level, they all become the same. Whether it's a high level of karate or a high level of Tai Chi Chuan or a high level of Kung Fu or a high level of Jiu-Jitsu, they're all the same at that level, that high level. So it's many paths to the one destination.
So the same as in, you mean equal or?
Equal in efficiency for sure.
Okay. At a high level.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay. So that's obviously, I mean, for a martial artist, I mean, in my opinion, that's what you would strive for.
Well, it's the goal of lengthening your line, right?
Yeah. Or I guess others, yeah, and that's where people dabble. You kind of do a little bit of this, and then you have that mixed martial art, right? So you're good at several things. I see. Yeah, that comes
but
back.
But you're not great at any of them.
Right.
Is the argument.
Right.
Yeah.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. When you talk about dabbling, dabbling's okay at the beginning, right? How do I know what's real? How do I know what I like? So I try this class and I try that class and I try that class. But at some point you have to make a choice. You know, otherwise you're just in the buffet line. Right.
That's why you say that. Yeah. 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 And having a little bit of this, no, makes sense.
But once you find the thing that you want to do and you just continue on. I mean, we've been lucky. I've been lucky to find one thing that I see as real. And you know, I can't do everything my teacher can do, so I keep going until I can.
Right.
Right. And then you ultimately face the time.
Here's a little question kind of regarding time. Is Wing Chun strictly, or say martial arts, in your opinion, I suppose, strictly time in, or is it talent plus practice? Like, I mean, does talent play a key in it, or is it, hard work and time in, I guess, would be the two. I mean, what's...
Well, I mean, you can look at the... You can take it back to the Chinese characters of Kung Fu, Gong Fu. So Gong is work. The character for Kung Fu means work or effort. And Fu means art or practice in that sense. So it's an artwork.
Right. Yeah.
And this is work. This again is lengthen your line. 90% of success is just showing up. But you got to show up every time, and just continue. And some people don't have a lot of innate talent. You know, some athletes don't have the gifts, so-called quote-unquote gifts, as other athletes. So they'll never be a superstar hockey player.
But they busted.
Does that matter?
Right.
Is that the point?
Right. Yeah, well, this kind of goes into then how do you know when you're good? Right? Because, I mean, you work hard. I mean, years in a club gets you esteem, I guess, or belts, depends on in our club, right? We have belt system, so we kind of know it, which I like. I mean, it kind of gives us an idea of what we've accomplished. I like that aspect of it. Other clubs aren't like that. And I haven't quite figured out how they recognize levels of achievement in those clubs. But in ours, I know we have belt systems. But in your opinion, how do you know then?
How do you know you're good?
Yeah.
Well, it's important to have senior students in the class. And at some point, you know, the gap between them and you is lessened. And then you know that you're both senior.
Right.
You know, when it's a pyramid system, you know, you got a bigger pyramid at the bottom, bigger base. And then as you climb the pyramid, there are fewer and fewer people that are, you know, higher than you. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily, well, I should choose my words. They're there as an example, but they're also standing on top of you. And what I mean by that is that for them to get any better, they have to bring you up to a level where you can challenge them. That's the only way that they can get better. So if you have, you know, this idea that there's a club and you have one or two senior students and those guys are the bullies in class, well, then that's not a good club. Because those guys should be examples and try and make you as good as them so that they can end up becoming better.
Yeah, that makes sense. Right. Yeah.
Because generally you have a Sifu, you have a master, and kind of as ways go, the master is older. You know, he's not in his prime anymore. He can show you some things, but he can't really compete with you, nor do you really want to compete against him. It's not about beating up an old guy. Although I challenge some people to try. They might lose some teeth.
Yeah.
You know, because it's momentary. It's no longer, you know, it's not about, can I push him and will he push me back? It's, you know, I step two and I pay. You know, this is the reality of martial arts. But,
Touch on that then a little bit. Like, I mean, we both have kids. Sorry, we're kind of transitioning just kind of off the fly here. But I mean, martial kids, what are your thoughts on kids training? Like a lot of schools are successful because they bring in kids and it's great fitness and it's a great discipline and things like that. But as you just said, it's a martial art designed years ago for like fighting.
Well, so martial means lethal or killing, not just fighting. Because we go back to this idea of warriors, and there's no, oh, okay, you got me. Okay, we'll quit there. Oh, I'm going to tap out. No, you'd be dead. So you don't want to challenge somebody. So in a martial sense, that's what we're learning. It's okay to teach that to kids, but you know it's a sport understanding at the beginning. It is a physical activity understanding. It's not about, you know, go and beat people up. Although, you know, it happens. This brings into the ethics question about, you know, who's responsible if things go, you know, haywire. But I think kids can definitely benefit from it. I don't know. I guess we all need to survive. If you're trying to run a club, you know, you got to pay the rent, you got to, you know, get the food, pay your own personal expenses.
Sure. No, I mean, I mean, a few people have asked me if I'm going to, you know, teach Logan Kung Fu. And it's just like, you know, I kind of play a little bit right now. He's little. He's 6, right? So, I mean, it's just like, I'll say, hey, this is a pack cell, which nobody can see my hands. But, I mean, palm up. Here's a ton. You know, here's a fook. Here's a bonsai. And, like, will he remember, like, in a couple of days? Probably not. But I can show him again down the road. And we kind of goof around and things like that. So, like, I think that's, I don't know. Yeah, I think that's kind of cool to, you know, pass it on. I just kind of have that, the martial art. And, I mean, Sifu, you know, he, and not that he shows us anything that's, you know, crazy, but like arm breaks, like there's some devastating moves in Wing Chun. Strikes to your vitals, your eyes, your nose, growing, right? Breaks elbows. Once you start learning elbows kind of in the Bilji, those are dangerous. Mm-hmm. Those are like don't mess around kind of moves. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So teaching children, I mean, higher level. Or
you can't teach children higher level until they finish growing anyway. So this is kind of the paradox. So you can train them young and get them physically active, but there's a junior belt system. And then there's a, okay, they've entered puberty. They've stopped growing. And now they continue to train. Now there's an adult belt system. And they should basically become white belts again and relearn, but they don't really like that idea.
Yeah.
So you have these kids, some kids that start at 10, they'll get a black belt as a kid, and then they'll go into the adult class because they finally grew and they're big enough, still wearing the black belt. But really they're a black belt kid, but right. They're not a black belt adult. So that's going to lead to problems. And they often sit there and realize, oh, what I thought was real, what I thought I could do, I can't do because it worked when I was playing around with the other kids. But now I try and play around with adults that have experience and I can't do it. Mm-hmm. So they often get disenfranchised and quit.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, it's kind of funny you say that because initially when I trained for a chunk of time, made it to the darker belt levels and then took a break. And then when I came back, because I couldn't find my belts or whatever the reason, maybe I was gone too long, I basically started fresh from the beginning. So I've kind of trained the beginning phase like twice, and now just kind of experience some of the, you know, most of the full form of the dummy, the bilji, things like that, stuff that is kind of at the beginning and middle and things like that. So, So, I mean, I think it benefited me. I mean, when I initially started training, I was weaker. I was smaller. I think I was just an adult, really, right? So I was figuring out my body and things like that. And then kind of coming back to kind of retrain. I had a little period there where I was frustrated with the kind of going back and then hitting. I felt like I hit a plateau somewhere. And just after right around Chum Q area, I was just thinking, like when we start to problem solve in our club, I thought I should be better because I had a higher belt previously, or I had done it before, but I had lost like the sensitivity, I guess, or reflexes or whatever we want to call it. Right. Kind of that reaction. Yeah. Sensitivity. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which had to be relearned and took some time. So have you had a period in your long training where you've been frustrated, annoyed, or kind of plateaued, or?
Well, everywhere along can be frustrating.
For sure.
You know?
For sure.
White belt to yellow belt, everything seems to be going good. Oh, yeah, I'm learning lots. yellow to orange, orange to green. Oh, yeah, I'm still progressing really, really quickly along the logarithmic curve. And then all of a sudden you hit this kind of wall and you're like, oh, okay. Now it's not coming as easily, or now my body's not cooperating. And it really is about, you know, training the body. And then you get to that brown belt level, the dreaded brown belt. That's when the frustration hits, mm-hmm. you know, because you should be able to do it, but you can't do it.
So explain that for people that are like, don't know our club. Brown belt is what in our club? Like basically.
Well, in any system that you train in.
Yeah.
You've learned all the basics. You know all the movements. You've been around long enough. You have some experience. You're not weak anymore because your body's, you know, maturing.
Yeah.
But there are days when you can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, I should be able to compete and do this thing, but I can't. And other days it's like you can, but not all the time. Or then there's you can do it most of the time, but not with every person. There's always somebody else that's, you know, your kryptonite, and you can't, you know, figure it out. And that's frustrating. And part of it is, you know, you're building a neural net, and your brain has to actually grow the neurons and the attachments for you to be that fast. It's not, which is why a real martial art takes anywhere from 5 to 7 years before you're proficient. Mm-hmm. If you get a black belt in a year, it can't be a real martial art.
Right.
No. Because you haven't made the connections. You haven't made, you talk about sensitivity. Sensitivity means that you touch something and the signal goes from your finger up your arm and to your brain, and then it you figure it out, and then it goes back down your arm, and then you have a movement. But without the neural net, then you can't, you're clumsy.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know the techniques, it just takes a little bit longer to apply them. Is that kind of what you're...
Well, it's part of it is timing, part of it is force, part of it is, you know, I'm going to do Bontan. You know, Bontan turns to Lapsao Satsao,
yeah.
Versus, oh, I can only do Pakda all the time. You know, so your repertoire has to be built as well.
Sure. Yeah. I have a funny story, I guess, training with you. I don't know if I shared it in the group yet, but we were training before COVID and just outside of the club, and training with you, doing our problem solving, kind of, if people aren't sure what problem solving is, it's kind of like our training kind of pre-fight, I guess, right? Kind of like we're close contact, applying our techniques in close proximity to each other where we're engaged, right? In touch, I suppose. So, go with you for however many minutes, get super frustrated, because you're bigger than me, two, you're stronger, more experience, and so I'm just annoyed. And then you say that to me, well, I'm bigger, I've done it longer, and I'm bigger, and yeah, you're stronger than I am. So it's just like these three things that take so much to kind of overcome. It's just interesting, kind of goes back to that, how do you know you're good? And it's really, you need to test, like you said, on people higher than you, right? The same level as you, and then below you. You agree on that, right? Because I'm pretty sure mm-hmm. you've said that actually to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Which again comes back to this, you know, the pyramid. You know, we're at the top of the pyramid.
Yeah.
And you need a broad base of students underneath you. And this is how schools die, right? If you don't have the broad base coming in all the time, if people don't stay long enough to make it up the pyramid. Mm. So this is.
Cause that's when really Wing Chun kind of opens up, right? Like the basics are the fundamentals, but people like Logan, he's learning piano right now, and he's learning the notes and the timing. And really, that's I talked with my other guest last episode, and he said it's like you're learning the letters, and then you're combining it to make words. And another gentleman we trained with kind of described it as music, right? We're learning the notes, and then we put the music together, I guess, when we fight or problem solve. But yeah, it doesn't get really interesting, in my opinion, till a little bit later. Do you concur on that, or is it? I mean, well,
yeah, for sure. And this is why they call Wang Xionglong the master of talking hands, because he's speaking volumes.
I actually hurt my shoulder, Lance, doing some home training. I don't know if I was doing elbows or the double sat, and I did a couple exercises. If I pulled something in my shoulder, wasn't from doing bonsai. I know that I might have to come see you after we clear up the COVID. You're also an acupuncturist, correct?
Right.
How long have you been doing that for?
So I've been in private practice almost 15 years now. Mm. This is kind of the funny life path, you know. I went to university for one thing, got into Kung Fu, and then ended up becoming a Chinese doctor. So
who does Kung Fu?
Who does Kung Fu?
That's awesome. Yeah.
Nowadays, it's more about internal martial arts. Qigong and Tai Chi, which is kind of the flip side of Kung Fu, flip side of Wing Chun, but is very much a key ingredient. Like, you don't... I challenge people to say that they really understand Wing Chun or Kung Fu if you don't also do Qigong or Tai Chi.
So either or, one or the other?
Either or. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sifu used to say, when you're young, you learn Kung Fu. And when you're older, then you learn Tai Chi. But the process of learning the Tai Chi helps your Kung Fu. You actually, somehow there's intuitive things that pop in all the time. Like, I'll be practicing and all of a sudden I'll go, hang on, I've been doing this block slightly wrong, because all of a sudden you feel it. You feel that it's different inside yourself.
So some people, like I put another post in the group here, and some of the big forums talk about like doing Si Lam Tao slow. Like, is that kind of their system of doing maybe the internal while doing Wing Chun? You kind of get both, I would say. Okay. And
You can go from the mechanical, I do the Pak Sao, the Tan Sao, to I do things with breathing. And this idea that you do the form with no effort. So use no force. Now, you still have to make your hands move, but you don't get to use force when you do it.
Mm.
That would turn Si Lam Tao into more of a Tai Chi, Qigong-esque, because your focus would be then on your breathing and not so much on your muscles moving. And then it becomes more meditative. And this puts you in a different brain wave, right? Takes you out of alpha and starts to put you down into beta and theta wave sleep, or brain waves, similar to sleep.
Okay.
Delta is dream wave sleep.
Okay. So straight up Wing Chun, A, meditation type, B, and really can't really train D or C. What did you say? D?
You can't train in Delta, no.
No, that's yeah. Sure. So for some people that don't know much, I guess, about meditation, you do that as well.
Right.
So if somebody wanted to start basic, something simple, like I think I kind of dabble in it. I've done it previously. At the moment, it's not part of my routine. If I want to get back into it, what do you suggest?
Well, I mean, the internal martial arts is a completely different system. Mm-hmm. And again, full spectrum, you know, you could do a purely standing meditation. You can do a moving Tai Chi meditation. You can do walking, working on your stepping with the meditation, or you could do sitting, you know, turn it into almost like a Buddhist meditation. It's whatever appeals.
Mm-hmm. But start slow, I mean, would be like, and start, but start probably if people want to do it.
Just find a book and try it.
Just do. No. That's the thing, right?
Lots of stuff. We're in this age where there's no lack of information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the 80s, there was none of this. How do you find a Qigong master? How do you find a Wing Chun master? A lot of people will sit there and, okay, maybe I'll go through the yellow pages. Think back to the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to find stuff? Oh, I'll go look in the yellow pages.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's see. Okay, is there a Wing Chun school in Edmonton? Okay, that's great. Okay, let's try this guy. And how do you know? You go and you try the class and it's like, oh, okay, this seems, you know, all right. It's in my neighborhood. It doesn't cost you much. But how do you know that that's a Wing Chun? How do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now we have so much information. It's not about finding the information. It's about filtering now.
Right.
We're in this age where we've got to filter all this stuff and figure out what's real.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, a problem in itself, but it's a different skill set. Limiting as opposed to searching and finding.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Hmm. That's great.
So you can find anything. Then there's some very good YouTube practitioners. There's an acupuncturist. He's British. His name's Peter Dedman. And you can go on YouTube, Peter Dedman. And he'll teach you a Qigong form for every internal organ to help with health and vitality. Great. You want to get healthier? Do that. But you got to do it every day. You know, just the set that you want. Start with the stomach. You're having stomach problems? Do the stomach version and do that every day. And you'll get to the point where you go, hey, my stomach feels great. Maybe I should try the lung version. Or maybe I should try the kidney version. You know, and you'll add to it. And there's a whole set that does the whole body. So this is one example of Qigong for health.
Yeah.
And then there's Qigong that is more for strengthening your foundation and making your martial art better. So there's much more of a martial component than there is a health component. Now, the good part is when you do one, you do the other. So you can't separate systems in the body. So if I'm practicing Qigong for building my stance, I'm naturally already helping my physical internal organs by doing that.
Right.
But it's a harder style. Because it's standing. It's harder to stand still for an hour than it is to do a Tai Chi form for 15 minutes when you're moving. Right?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, that totally makes sense. So if you're going to practice Qigong, I mean, and you're already studying a martial art, basically, I mean, study... Well, it doesn't matter really which one. Either one are going to help out the other one. You do standing or you do meditation for health, it's going to help your martial art. You do, and then flip side, right?
Right. And it's kind of, so this comes back to why did you start? Why did you start martial arts?
Why did I?
Yeah.
Well, first I like, to be frank and straight up honest, I friends of mine were doing it. And I was just like, that is awesome. That's cool. One, it was like best buddies that I've been friends with since I was little. And they were doing it, and they showed me one of their gradings. I got into it. So Reason initially was, I just saw it and kind of liked it.
Yeah.
And started doing it.
Yeah. There are a lot of people. There are a lot of people that like the social aspect, you know, yeah. They get out and they do it with friends or they make friends, and that's great. And that's where the school stops for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What do you mean? Go into this a little bit more. Like, what was your reason? Like, your reason was to de-stress, I guess, too, right? Like, the initial reason is usually something different, but then you stick with it for a specific other reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Because originally it was another way, you know, I could study for another hour or two.
Yeah.
You know, and
study. But then you get hooked, Lance. Then you're hooked. Me too.
Like, oh, this is, you know, application. I was studying sciences, so I was doing a science degree. And then Kung Fu, I realized, is the application of science. It's physics. It's chemistry. It's math. So I became fascinated with that.
Awesome. Yeah, it's funny. It's and if people want to do it, I mean, like, what do you recommend? For me, some friends of mine referred maybe two clubs in our city. The first one I went to is the one I stuck with and have been with for years, right? Like, I haven't actually, would you recommend the same? Like, ask in a reputable friends, ask in a group, check the internet. Again, this is filtering information, right? What's the best way to find a good club, a good school, and what does that even mean, really?
Yeah, I don't think there's a good answer to that. It's because everybody's different, right?
Yeah.
You gotta. It's that quote from Kung Fu Panda. You know, sometimes we meet our destiny on the road we take to avoid it. Right. There's no coincidences in the universe. I mean, we like to think that we're in control, but Sifu told me one time, you know, everybody talks about the student seeking for the master. Well, sometimes the master is looking for the student, and it finally happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it works both ways.
It's funny, actually. I haven't thought backward, like, not backwards, but I haven't thought that direction before. Yeah, that's great. So what keeps you going year after year?
Stubbornness.
Yeah, to figure it all out, right? Is that the goal or what?
Yes. Some of it is, you know, and this is the difference again between a martial art, a true martial art, and just a sport. So a sport is something you can practice in and train in, knowing that your body is deteriorating. You know, you play professional football. I heard this great quote. It's like, professional football is one of the strangest things. You go from being the best shape of your life to being old aged. You surpass middle age by playing professional football. When you retire at 30 or 35, if you make it that far, you're a 60-year-old man. And then you have the rest of your life to finally die. But you've sacrificed your middle age playing professional football. So as a martial artist, it shouldn't be that way. It should be something that you can train your whole life long, understanding that you're going to have injuries and that there are things that you can do when you're 20 and you're 30, you can't do when you're 40 or 50 but you should be smarter in the way that you move at 50 than you were at 20, so you can still compete, right? And at 50, you're still getting better in some senses, even though you don't recover as fast, and maybe your wind isn't as good. But you're still progressing in certain ways. And the trick is to find the weaknesses and manage those weaknesses and figure out ways to fix them. If your knees are bad, well, then maybe Qigong is the way that you can fix them. You know, maybe changing your diet is the way that you can fix them. Maybe having to go and seek therapy from different practitioners is required, but there should be something that you can do about it, right? Mm-hmm. So, and this comes full circle back to some people don't have any talent in Wing Chun, and that's fine. You know, you train, and if you can accept the fact that you suck in some part of your training, then you can correct that. Maybe it's that you've had an old injury and you can't do things with your shoulder or your arm. Well, you need to work on correcting that. Mm-hmm. It's a mistake, however, to avoid those movements because you can't do them. Then again, you're modifying the form, right? You want to learn the whole system, even if you can't do the whole system well, as opposed to negating part of the system so that you can look like you're doing okay.
That's perfect. Perfect. Huh. Well, on that note, probably really kind of maybe one more question. I know I didn't tee you up for this, but if people wanted to connect with you specifically, how do they do that? Like whether it's acupuncture, kung fu related stuff, I know how to connect with you, but is there a way they can connect with you?
Not really. I've been in hiding for many decades.
I know. I totally didn't cue you up for that question. You're giving your time to the Wing Chun community here, the Wing Chun Talk, and I appreciate that. So if give you a plug, whether it's your acupuncture or what have you, you know, after COVID clears, I can always put that in the group later, but
yeah,
after that. So
yeah, with the whole COVID thing, my practice has been shut down by the government. Mm-hmm. Because we're seen as non-essential services, mm-hmm. and close contact, so they don't want to spread. So I work at a company called Alberta Acupuncture and Massage in Edmonton, but we're at the moment shut down until the government decides that we're out of lockdown. I don't really...
Yeah.
There's nothing going forward. It's a very frustrating time. So I'm happy that we can have kung fu and I'm glad that I have acupuncture and qigong to manage the stress. But some people are going completely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy time.
No, it's yeah, and I mean I went through a bit of a time where anxiety was pretty high, kind of at the beginning, and then kind of sorted that out, did some home training, and just tried to manage the stress load, and hopefully it's not like maybe compounding for others from the beginning till now. Cause I don't want to talk too much about it, but it seems like things are gradually getting better. But again, with the news, it's this and then it's that, and then it's that, and then it's this. So, I guess we just wait and see.
Yeah. That's all we can do.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you, Lance, so much. Appreciate training with you. Appreciate you for giving your time up and chatting. I'd love to do it again sometime here in the next little while. If you're open to that, I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again. And I'll just close up here in the group. And hopefully everybody enjoyed that.
Thank you so much for listening to Wing Chun Talk Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to share it with someone you know who will also enjoy it. If you haven't already, make sure to follow or subscribe to catch all upcoming episodes.